6% of all the cows were up at the end of the breeding season. If we consider only the cows that became pregnant, and this is, I think, an important point relative to, again, reproductive management in general, if we consider what happened in terms of reproductive management on these cows, if we consider only the pregnant cows, basically what you can see here is 88% of the cows that became pregnant conceived within the first 25 days of the breeding season. And what that can begin meaning to all of you relative to improve uniformity of calves at the time you market them or choose to market them, what that can mean in terms of identifying potential future replacement females, etc., is no small thing. So, in conclusion, relative to this, I think based on our data, the results, and that's why those protocols are listed on the timed AI category for cows, there's really no difference in our hands relative to how the protocols work. But again, I think the consideration that needs to be made, if you're using the MGA protocol, you've got to make sure that the cows are consuming what they need. Based on the implications, we do think the technology does exist now to successfully inseminate cows. These cows are predetermined fixed times with resulting high pregnancy. And a couple concluding and implication slides relative to just data. These are numbers from our group that we've compiled over the last years to try and start telling the story as to how these various protocols work. Beginning with the two-shot prostaglandin protocol, and this first series of numbers relate primarily to what the response or how the response rates have changed. And what's shown here is the two-shot prostaglandin treatment, select sync, which is GnRH followed 7 days later with prostaglandin, and the 14-19-day MGA prostaglandin protocol, MGA select and 7-11 sync. And the point that I want to make is that, and it goes back to the discussion that we had at the beginning relative to the impact progestin treatments can have on affecting an increase in the percentage of cows that come into heat during that synchronized period. And that's illustrated based on the numbers that are shown here. So your bottom line is, however, going to be how many cows you end up with pregnant at the end of the day after having done any of these things. And I think the numbers here also begin to tell a story relative to the significant opportunities we're beginning to now have relative to opportunities to actually breed cows at predetermined times. And in many situations, either reduce the period of time you detect heat or facilitate fixed-time AI. And I think these numbers, if you compare them with these, are very representative of that. So, where do we go from here? Research is underway to, I think, a number of groups to try and get a better handle on ways that we can get more predictability with protocols that hopefully at some point down the line will facilitate improvement in results attained with fixed-time insemination programs for heifers. But in our opinion, and other groups in the country, I think the technology, as you can see in many situations, now is out there to really help us work more successfully with programs on cows. This is a concluding point that I think is significant. We've got to consider where the industry is at as a whole in the more or less unique point in time. And I recognize some faces in the reproductive community that have worked with anestrus cows numbers of years ago and have dealt with the problems with anestrus, et cetera. But the point that I think needs to be made is that this is... We're at a really unique point in time relative to these new tools that we have available and our improved understanding of ways to effectively manipulate the estrous cycle of cows to attain some of the results that we talked about here. You couple that with the fact that we're beginning to see a changing marketing structure that does recognize and reward quality. And you couple those two together in terms of using improved genetics and the opportunities that may create as far as adding value, I think has to be taken fairly seriously. So, with that, one final concluding point, which I've already stated several times, we do think we're at a point in time, and that's why our group met following the symposium in North Platte. A serious concern that many of us have that work in this is that transition into or a transition into the adoption phase of some of this technology now is very critical. And if you have questions, we hope that you'll seek advice from people that have had experience with these protocols. One of the things that I did not mention that's showing up in data sets across the country, especially on these timed AI protocols, are the variability or dealing with particular bills that are used in these, you know, or in combination with these programs. We're seeing big swings on pregnancy rates on bills that are used in these timed AI programs, and a lot of it results from the fact there's going to be differences in terms of sperm viability and the reproductive tract of the cow based on hours of survivability. If you're actually inducing ovulation on cows and you have to wait for up to 30 to 32 hours, or in some cases perhaps even slightly longer, some of these bills will fall out. So if you are considering using timed AI, try and do some homework and visit with people to see if there's any past experience relative to the bills you're considering as to how they performed in these timed AI programs. Because in our hands and other reproduction groups across the country that are working in this area, popping up is that there are differences between and among bills. So with that, I appreciate the invitation to visit with you. I want to acknowledge all the people in our group that have contributed to this, the students that have worked a lot on all of these projects, including Daniel, that's at the back of the room, that was involved with this large project that we just talked about most recently, Mike Smith in our program, and Matt Lucy, colleagues of mine in the reproductive physiology group at MU. The support that we've received from both Sex Eyes Organization and American Breeders Service, the pharmaceutical industry in terms of Pfizer and Mariel, and funding that we received from the USDA Competitive Grants Program in Reproductive Biology. I also want to take time to thank the cooperators at University Farms and Herds that have worked with us on these projects, as well as cooperators in the state and in some cases out of state that have participated in this work. So, any questions? Yes.
Dave, it looked to me like looking at your data, if you synchronize the herd of cows and got the pregnancy rates that you did, and then you follow those cows for the next cycle,
right?
Just and plan the AI on the next cycle, it could be 25 days, say, from the there would be little point in using only a prenup.
That's one of the things that we've got some of our producers that are really getting more serious about this, is they're time inseminating cows on the first go round, and then they're actually heat detecting for 5 to 6 days on their repeat heat, and having the opportunity to have close to 90% of their cows AI pregnant within the first 25 days of breeding season. That's the sort of thing that I think is going to probably evolve over time. But you're right. I mean, those cows are going to still be synchronized to a certain extent, although they'll start to spread out. But if you were to start heat detecting 17 days, 18 days after your appointment date, and heat detect to day 20, you know, 22, 23, 24, you would pick up both those cows that failed to conceive on that first return. So,
have any of your ag economists looked at the I guess you call it the cash flow?
Yeah, we're just trying to get started on that, but the economics of this, obviously there's going to be a change in cost relative to, use of the technology versus the purchase of what you're going to gain as far as increasing the number of things. But you look at the impact that it's having based just on calving distribution alone. You look at Harlan Hughes' data in terms of calving distribution and how that impacts profitability or impacts herds that are highly profitable or low profitability herds. Huge, the greatest impact based on why this would point back to gathering distribution. My guess is that without him here, but if I remember his data accurately, the higher profitability groups, close to 60-70% of those cows are gathered within the first cycle. And if you move that up to even higher percentage, then, you know, your numbers don't have to change here. I think that's going to be the
yes. Sir, your slides seem to show a 60-70% conception rate, and then you came up with on the same time the figure in the 90s.
Yeah, the first figure, the question is, if you didn't hear it, figures of 60%, and then figures on the same slide showing percentages in the 90s. I apologize for the fact that I had to try and get you an awful lot of information, and some of it may not have been real clear for you, but hopefully that's why we wanted to try and get the slides out to everyone, is that you'll take that data home and study it. The 60% figures reflect the number or percentage of cows that became pregnant during the synchronized period, or actually as a result of the timed insemination. The 90% figures relate either on that concluding slide to estrus response rates on cows that were actually physically heat detected, or the pregnancy rate at the end of the breeding season. And I'm not sure which slide you're specifically referring to, but it'll relate to either one of those two things. Yeah, Paul? I'm probably, Sandy Johnson's here from Kansas State, and Sandy's done a really good job over the last couple of years looking at the economics of these various protocols, whether they're used in conjunction with heat detection or timed AI. I honestly cannot give you a pregnancy price because we've not worked in that area. You might want to grab Sandy after the session because she's at the back of the room, because she probably can rattle those numbers off too. Yes, yeah, go ahead, Sandy.
I was asked to get us out of here on time to get to lunch. Thank you.